Headline, Cat Snoops in Kitchen Ends Up in Hot Water. Subhead, Doesn't Even Know It Ain't Saturday Night.
The Saybrook Brewing Company of Hartford, Connecticut, makers of Blue Diamonds Pilsner since 1843, presents The Headline Chaser, starring Gerald Moore as newspaper reporter Michael Mooney. The finest things in life should never be rushed. That applies to everything, including one of America's finest Pilsner beers. Since 1843, the Saybrook Brewing Company of Hartford, Connecticut, has brewed Blue Diamonds Pilsner beer. Open a bottle. Pour out a draft of sparkling golden refreshment. The sparkle of Blue Diamonds comes from the pure water used to brew this fine beer. And when you taste a glass of Blue Diamonds, you taste the result of using the finest hops and malted barley, slow brewed and chill brewed, to bring out every bit of flavor that quality ingredients can give. No bottle, no keg leaves the brewery until the brewers are satisfied that the beer deserves the name for quality since 1843. So when you go down to your favorite tavern or store, remember, ask for Blue Diamonds Pilsner beer or Blue Diamonds Ale. Then all you have to do is sit back and slowly enjoy.
So there I was. I'm working in a newspaper. I'm actually earning some dough. All right, I'm working on the rewrite desk, trying to turn what I'm given into something resembling the King's English. I don't have a bunch of goons firing off their heaters at my head. And last, certainly not least, I've got a friend. Amicus, who's a real look, happy with me because I saved her from getting strangled by her former boss and got her the heck out of danger. So ask yourself, am I smart enough to keep my big feline mouth shut? What do you think?
Here's a rewrite on that missing truck of fish, sir.
All right, put it in the basket over there, will? Well?
Well, I'm wondering what you need next.
Well, aren't you a ball of fire? Second day on the job and you're looking for a byline already.
Hey, I didn't say that.
No, but I seen the look in your eyes. Crane was right about you.
The Crane in this case was Charles Foster Crane, the guy who owned this rag. Namely, the Spontoon Mirror, the number two of two daily newspapers here in the Spontoon Islands. A bunch of rather well-arranged rocks in the Pacific, a good long flight away from my friends in Los Antelopes. The Mirror, depending on your viewpoint, was either a newspaper digging around for the truth or a supply of overpriced fish wrap. I leaned toward the first point of view. Part of it was that's just me. Part of it was I wasn't in this place legally. You see, I left home without a few things, like passports and visas, and for that matter, a change of clothes.
Look, be a good little kitten and pad on back to rewrite. I need 200 words on the sewage committee's meeting last night. 200 words that won't make my head hurt.
All right, coming right up.
Hey, Mooney.
Yeah?
Look, kid, I don't want to send you out, see? But you're the first rewrite guy Crane's given me that speaks English as a first language. It ain't personal. It's professional.
Yeah, okay. Sure. 200 words on septic tanks that would make a plumber weep. Coming right up.
Atta boy.
So, yeah, life wasn't too bad. I was actually feeling pretty good, which should have been a warning sign.
Rewrite, Mooney here.
Hello, Mike. It's Stella.
Yeah.
This was the Minkus I was telling you about earlier. 19, but with a brain a bit older. Some of it hard-won experience.
Hey, I got about another hour here. You know any fancy synonyms for sewage pipe?
Yeah. How about maitre d'hotel?
Stella, with her looks, didn't have problems landing a gig, even if it was starting in on the off-season. The kick of that taste. No cocktail waitress in a casino stuff for her. Within 24 hours, she'd been made a hostess at a fancy four-star restaurant, one connected to Shepherd's, a big, fancy hotel.
What's the matter?
If his attitude was as phony as his accent, I wouldn't care.
What, Paris by way of Nutley, New Guernsey?
Yeah, got it in one, Mike. I get off at 6. Let's meet for a bite. Someplace other than this place?
Yeah, all right. It's a date. You're buying, though. They don't give advances here. Unless you like ketchup and hot water as an entree.
Chivalry lives. See you, Mike.
They call this joint Casino Island for a pretty good reason. The spontoons coin a lot by figuring out ways to separate tourists from their dough and make them like it. From what I see, they're pretty good at it. Of course, not everyone who works in the casinos can afford to eat there, so there's a pretty good selection of the equivalent of coffee shops and greasy spoons tucked away in the side streets. 2 days I've been on the islands, and I've learned something already. Poi tastes pretty good if you use enough ketchup.
Better not let any natives see you pouring that stuff all over. Poi is supposed to be semi-sacred in this neighborhood.
Hey, this is an important ritual. I view eating, as opposed to starving, as sacred.
Sacred, hey?
Beats the alternative. You aren't going local, I see.
No. The chef where I work is pretty good. He's a real French first.
Uh-huh. And how far do his French habits go?
Nosy. Or are you being protective, Mr. Knight in Shining Armor?
Nosy. I'm a reporter, remember? Besides, my lance and steed are in hock.
Don't worry, big man. I'm paying for you. Ego bruised yet?
Yeah, another round and some fur will have to cut me. Anyway, what is that stuff?
Salmon with a dill hollandaise sauce and a side of steamed saffron rice.
Hold the onions. You're going to have some orca cola with that?
You're a real high-class act, Mike.
And I try. Nice little perk getting a meal like that. I'm in the wrong line of work. All they have at the mirror is something in a pot that I think was once coffee. I'm afraid to go near it without a whip and a chair. How much does the blue plate special run anyway at your joint?
It's la spécialité du maison, not the blue plate special. And it runs 3 spontoony pounds and 10 shillings at lunch, 4 pounds at dinner.
Eat enough of that and you'll have pounds all right. How much is that American?
About $12.95 for lunch, $15 for dinner.
Holy smoke, you kidding me?
Nope.
And Furs will pay that much for a meal?
Hey, it's the meal and the service. This is a real white glove joint, Mike. Furs actually dress up to eat there. And they know what fork to use. And they don't put it in their pocket when they're finished, either.
Well, that eliminates me. I like hotel towels, too.
Here, shut up and have a forkful. It'll elevate your palate.
I did. It was good. Real good. I'd had something like this only once before, when I was a best mel at a buddy's wedding a long while back.
I'm in the wrong line of work. Any openings for a busfer over at, whatchamacallit?
L'Etoile d'Argent? You wouldn't be happy as a busfer. You'd have the maitre d' breathing down your neck all the time.
Yeah, and I hate acorns.
Listen, it ain't easy running one of those places, Mike. Trying to get top-quality eats for the Marks is nearly a full-time job.
Uh-huh.
No, I'm serious. It's hard enough getting fresh stuff and good stuff without having it swiped from you.
Swiped?
Yeah. Chef Joseph...
The guy who's sweet on you?
Jealous.
Hey, I know when I'm losing to a better fur. All I can make in the kitchen is boiled water.
Do you burn it?
Only some of the time. Anyway, what does Joe say?
Well... Chef Joseph was all upset this morning because his delivery didn't come in. He had to go to one of the other hotels and swap a case of champagne for the salmon.
Just like that?
What goes around comes around. Last week, one of the big casinos had 2 crates of shellfish pinched, right outside the back door, not 2 minutes after some first signed for it. Chef Joseph bailed them out of that one with a potage aux fruits de mer.
I hope he kept the label up. It'll crack otherwise.
Only thing cracked is your imagination, Mike. No, there's a whole little network of the chefs here on Casino Island. When something gong off da glay, out come the tom-toms. Keeps the Marks happy and fat, which is all that matters. I'm full. You want to finish this?
The sacrifices I gotta make.
Stella went back to her place. I went back to mine. No scandals. Actually, no room either. The only way I'd swing in here was if I used a noose and the light fixture in the ceiling, and I wasn't any too sure about the plaster. I was watching a few palmetto bugs playing tag on the fan when I remembered something. See, fish is brain food, And someone else remembered that, too, because I'd given my boss 200 words on a missing truck of fish. So, I had a choice. I could lie here on my bed, have a nice long sleep, and stroll into work at the rewrite desk refreshed. Or I could spend a chunk of the night prowling and snooping around. Of course, I chose option two, which proves that you need brains for fish to be brain food. I didn't have any networks of contacts here in the Spontoons yet. The only furs I knew were Stella, Mr. Crane, my boss, and the fur who sold me my cigarettes. Of course, the flip side of that was that no fur knew who I was. So, taking advantage of that, I strolled on over to the casinos. Not the front part, but the tables, the slot machines, and the waitresses dressed in not much. No, I went to the back part, where the garbage was put out and the food taken in. Even I, without a refined palate, could tell which was which. I'm not sure the fur who was hauling around the boxes cared all that much. He was kind of small to be hefting that big crate of cans. Hey, buddy, want a paw with that?
Huh? Oh, affirmative is. Thanks, though.
So I toted up the crate and shoved it inside for him and gave him a smoke.
Euro?
Nah, American.
Euro is. Negative spontuni, euro is.
First time anyone's accused me of being French.
Negative act thou euro.
What? You mean I don't run around with a camera around my neck or go chasing after everything wearing a grass skirt? Nah, my ma raised me right. She told me to stick to back alley crap games. Speaking of alleys, what you doing back here? Small fur like you shouldn't have to do this.
Boss for myself speak. Myself tell. Metal house meal, kitchen move, emphasis quick.
Yeah, well, bosses are always in a hurry. It's like that all over.
Boss for myself tell, metal house meals missing are. Big boss for tail kick. Big boss for tail kick, boss for myself tail for kick. Myself negative desire tail for mine kick.
Yeah, sounds like home.
Law guardian witness myself. Metal house meals missing are. Affirmative reason pause borrow sarcastic making.
You're saying they're walking all by their lonesome, huh?
You're all funny is. Metal house meals legs image funny is.
Except when you get your tail fur kicked.
True for tailing is.
Yeah, I could be swiping them, you know.
Huh? Query kidding thou? Euro back alley dirty paws? Myself laugh. Negative is. Law guardian myself witness. Spontuni is metal house meals walking teach. Euros lazy are. Additional knowledge negative back alleys. Myself request thou. Myself excuse. Boss for myself. Myself see talking thou. Myself tail for kicked will be.
I thought about what the kid had to say. Part of me said he was right. I couldn't see the average, well, euro, as he said, coming to some dingy back alley to swipe a crate of canned pineapple. I mean, if some guy was sore about getting busted out at the blackjack table, he'd be more likely to get drunk in the bar like a normal fur. Part of me said that the kid was underestimating just how low a euro would go for an easy buck, though. The kid might be blind to something. What exactly? I don't know. Right now, I was feeling pretty blind, and I didn't have any carrots right at paw to fix that. Early morning found me far away from the bright lights of the casinos. I was over near a dock in a big open square. There was a pretty strong smell of seafood in the air, which made my nostrils and tail twitch. It reminded me that I was going to be eating poi and ketchup At least until my first paycheck cleared. Unless Stella took pity on me and gave me some table scraps.
Hey, buddy! You posing for a picture? Get out from under Paul!
Sorry. Yeah, this looked like Casino Island's pantry, all right. A fur could make just about anything from a ham sandwich up to a four-star meal from the fixins that was going through this market. A few furs were testing the fruit, I guess maybe for someone's breakfast the next morning. I didn't think the guy I saw doing it would eat 500 oranges before going to work.
You lousy crook, you!
Take it to the constabulary. Don't bother me about it.
Yeah, but the SIC doesn't owe me 62 pounds
and
nine.
That's a load.
I wish I had a load. A load of Alaskan crab that I paid for.
Yeah, you know what FOB stands for?
Change one letter and I've got an idea.
Why, you lousy... For tuppence, I take this hook.
It'd be better if you got off your tail fur and got me my crab.
Am I supposed to find it?
Use your head. Or your nose. I don't care. Just get me that crab.
The guy behind the counter was obviously not all that familiar with the old one about the customer always being right. Another minute or so of this, and the customer stomped off. Plenty mad. She gave a passing tarp-covered cark such a kick it rocked.
Boy, careful, you. Ref brains. Very. Desire you cases three. Nutnup skull, you apply?
The customer told the teamster where he could put the bottles. It wasn't the refrigerator, neither. I would have put money on the teamster if there had been a fight, or if I'd had money, but he just made a paw motion back and drove off with his load. I was looking at him as he drove off. I couldn't figure it out, but there was a little voice in my head that said something was wrong. I figured maybe the little voice was referring to the fact that I was going to need some sleep if I wanted to keep my sterling reputation as a rewrite man. Or maybe not. I don't know. So, there I was. Short of sleep, not particularly well-groomed, cigarette dangling from my mouth, and a cup of stale coffee at my elbow. My boss's comment...
Fitting right in there, Mooney.
I suppose he was right. I'd have been much happier about what he said if I could focus on it. Much of my attention was trying to untangle the verb placement in a blurb for a lecture on seaweed. I diligently worked for the two or three deer that would actually read this stuff. This was the introduction I got to the guy I was sharing one half of the double desk with. Another Euro, though in this case the tag was even crazier, since this guy had an accent that dripped like a busted bottle of blackstrap molasses.
I swear, this old island's crazy in a box of bedbugs. You?
Name's Mooney. I'm Rewrite.
Well, shoot. Glad to hear it. We ain't had no real Rewrite fella since I've been here. Sure is hard on a boy to have to learn one of these here spontaneous fellas how to speak.
Uh-huh. Didn't point out the irony.
I'm Jimmy Razor, late of Fayetteville, Arkansas, and I swear they got me working the dangest beat.
Women's page?
Oh, don't I wish. And simply, no, they got me working the restaurant gig. I gotta roll around all them restaurants here, say what they're serving up.
How hard is that?
I can't even say half them dishes them fellas are cooking up. Y'all come up with only so many ways of saying mighty tasty. Well, folks gonna figure out you're fraud.
How long you been doing this?
About a year. So
nobody's figured it out yet.
Son, I say, son, ain't nobody buys a spontoon mirror for the Vittles reviews. Most folks want to see the cutie we put on page 3. Y'all seen today's Van Live? That's one good-looking lioness. I figure that's why they call it a pride.
Hey, I got a question for you.
Well, shoot, son, I'm listening. Dang, typewriter, need the keys. Dang, small.
That your review in your notebook there?
Sure is.
Here, give it over. I'll type it up.
Well, now that's mighty neighborly of you, Mike. Well, one good turn, as my ma said. What kind of question y'all got?
Do the restaurants around here complain a lot about stuff being stolen?
Oh, y'all mean it. Silverware wouldn't put it past most tourists around these parts.
Well, I was more interested in furs stealing food.
I was told there's nearly always a scramble to get replacements.
Yoo-hoo-hoo, that's right. Sort of like a treasure hunt.
Local cops know anything?
Oh, I think they talk to them, but I ain't heard nothing about it. No, for I know it's vile to holler with them anyhow. No, just a lot of grump.
Now, I'd figure... What's this word?
Oh, bechamel? Heck, I know what that means. It's that French fellow over at Le Toile d'Argent. Man, this stuff has the worst finger-busting names I ever did.
I'd figure some fur would notice by now. I mean, if it's that widespread.
Well, now, let me tell you. Most of these here restaurants are busier than a tattoo parlor doing fleeting. There's dancing around every which way. Half of them don't even know hardly what day to week it is. No, ain't hardly a joint. Smallest, breeziest moon laying up to lay toil that ain't had something going walking. It's for his hut under the collar, let me tell you.
So nobody sees any of this going on?
Well, I ain't heard of nobody drop a nickel. Oh, so I figure any fur catches someone walking off, they gonna be next special, y'all for me. Well, shoot, son. Y'all de-splitted my infinitive. Well, heck, I saw educated when I read this. Who's going to wonder what got into me? Thank you kindly.
My neighbor, having had his review cleaned up, put his hat over his eyes and began to snore. No one blinked in the newsroom. I guess this was normal around here. Anyway, I did some more thinking, which was pretty easy since I was doing mostly rewrite on some local government reports. Sort of funny in a way. A whole lot of thefts going on, and no fur has seen no thing. Now, my first gut reaction would be that a whole lot of furs were in on this. But both Stella and now Jimmy, who was rattling the whiskey glass in my desk drawer with his wood saw on, told me in various ways that a lot of furs weren't happy with what was going on. And I was still getting that little voice in my head telling me something was wrong. A little voice in my head was also giving me some suggestions. I've learned to be wary about any advice the little voice in my head gives me, but not wary enough. For one thing, I wish the little voice in my head had told me it was going to rain that night. I mean, okay, this was the first time in a while my suit was getting something close to being cleaned, and it may have made me a bit fresher than normal. Too wet to smoke, though, which wasn't a good thing. Anyhow, I walked back to the market that I'd seen the night before. This part of the island wasn't paved all the way. Guess they were saving the money for where the tourists showed up. I mean, the real ones, not like me.
Oi, brain's breath. Tail for you, rapid move. Query, cart mine, footpads you crush?
Yeah, all right, buddy, take it easy. I'm moving. You don't own the road, you know.
I suppose the guy was head up on account of working in the night and the rain, and the mud probably wasn't helping any neither. He looked like he'd prefer going under the tarp that covered his cart, and I was beginning to think he was right. And he was getting paid to be out on a night like this. I ducked under an awning out of the way of the furs who were gonna yell at me for getting underfoot. While I was waiting for my cigarettes to dry out, I was watching some of the boys moving around the goods. A few guys there had forearms bigger than my neck. No surprise if you haul around heavy boxes of food for 8 hours every night, every day of the year. A real advertisement for outdoor living.
Okay, take this special batch over to Shepherd's. You savvy? Make sure you get a receipt.
Affirmative, understand myself.
This was even a bigger specimen who'd obviously been eating his cornflakes. Boxes moved into the cart like they were filled with cream puffs. Tarp on, and cart clattered off all in the space of a few minutes. Didn't have much trouble with the mud, neither. I remembered where I'd seen him before. I never forget a face. Much as I'd like to with this cat. First feline I'd ever seen with a nose that did a sort of a bend. Must have been an early career disagreement with a box of vegetables. This was the guy I'd seen last night giving sign language to a customer that wasn't happy. The little voice in the back of my head was starting to yell. I told it to shut up unless it had some bright ideas where to get some hot coffee and a warm bed, or at least some dry cigarettes. Hey, Jimmy.
Yeah, yeah?
This description of Gull Island on the level?
Well, y'all mean the most notable feature?
Yeah. Someone telling a long one here.
Son, Gull's been living there since long before my ancestors were in Arkansas. Y'all get my drift.
Holy smoke, how can furs live there? Well, maybe I shouldn't ask. Reminds me of a place I once lived near in Chicago. Third floor, cold water flat with a view of the stockyards.
Shifty-eyed little fellas living there. They done sold that island twice last year. I'm telling you, native furs around here, they take the pants off of a Wall Street bull to sell them back to them. Get a good price, too.
Uh-huh. Something told me that the idea of a casino being built on a 400-year-old open-air outhouse for non-anthrop seagulls was either a joke or a con job. I wondered if I could ever meet the fur that would invest in that kind of a racket. I could use a new shirt. Funny thing, what Jimmy told me jibed with what that kitchen fur told me the other night. It was starting to add up like a few long-timers around here weren't nearly as stupid or downtrodden as some of the more red flag-waving furs would have it. Of course, I had no way of proving this, and I really wasn't in any mood to test the libel laws around these parts. For all I knew, they settled things around here with shark spears.
Spontoon Mirror, y'all got Razor here. Who? Oh, I sure, darling, right here.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah?
You been holding out on me, boy. Got some fur in the line asking for you, and man alive, you clapped eyes on her, and I'm making some guesses.
Yeah, well, keep your guesses to the track, Jimmy. It's strictly business.
Oh, well, shoot, I was just wondering.
Wonder less and pass the phone more. Hi, Stella.
How'd you know it was me?
You charmed my office mate here.
Good looking?
They think so in Arkansas.
Yeah, well, tell Lum or Abner I said hello.
He'll love you for it.
Well, I'm just calling to let you know 86 on the vittles today, big man. You're on your own for dinner.
Chef Joe down to making hash and eggs?
It isn't funny, Mike. Whole shipment of steaks went AWOL this morning. Only steak on the island right now. So the whole place went loud and angry.
Jeez, what did Chef Joe...
Joseph?
Sorry, what did Chef Joseph say?
Stuff in French. No subtitles. Underchef signed for it early this morning, turned around to do other stuff, back 2 minutes later, poof.
Wait a minute. 2 minutes?
Yep. Listen, I gotta go. The maitre d' is on the warpath. We'll meet up for coffee later.
Okay. Now this I couldn't put my paws around. At least not at first. How the heck does a whole stack of boxes vamoose that fast? It was then I remembered. Last night, I'd seen the stuff loaded on the truck. The guy had said it was a special order for shepherds. A load of steaks? That fit the bill as special in my book. And you know, now I was starting to figure out why the little voice in the back of my head was yelling at me. It looked like another sleepless night or two for me, but I figured they weren't going to be empty. I had my eyes wide open the first night. I was using a pair of binoculars left over from the Great War that the furs in the newsroom used to scan the nearby beaches, particularly the secluded ones. I didn't see anything except for a constable that told me that moonlight swimming was done on the other side of the island. It was the second night that I saw what I was looking for. No, I didn't go to that moonlight skinny-dipping beach, maybe another night. Now, I was looking at the far less pretty figure of a fur loading up his cart. What he looked like in his swim trunks, I didn't want to think. I could see him. He was having an easy time of it. Way too easy. I figured it was going to take a lot of fast paw work on my part to beat him to wherever he was going. Well, at least it wasn't raining, and the moon was out, so I could see my pal pretty clearly. After a few minutes of driving along, he pulled into the service entrance of one of the casinos. For the moment, I hung back. I didn't need to be a Budinsky on this part of the conversation. I saw what I needed to see. Someone in from the kitchen signing a few papers, and the teamster starting to unload boxes just inside the service entrance door. It all seemed practiced. Very practiced. The kitchenfer watched the process and then invited the teamster in for something. I kept my eyes peeled, and as soon as the service door closed, I stepped out from my hidey hole. If I'd listened to my little voice a bit earlier, I wouldn't have been so surprised. The boxes were empty. It explained a few things. For example, why my pal a few nights ago had been able to go through the mud with not much of a problem. For another thing, how he was able to load them so easily. And more important, so quickly. Yeah, he'd only need a few minutes and then a few seconds with the tarp and a nice clean getaway, leaving some poor kitchen for holding the bag. Like the pal said, it would be tail fur kicking time. Now, a smart fur would have left well enough alone and would have gone to the cops. A few tips here, a little post-arrest follow-up there, all nice, neat, and clean, ready for running under the tide tables on page 5. But no, your friendly reporter, he's too hungry for a byline. Heck, he's too hungry, period. I knew I should have eaten before I went out on this job.
Lifting around empty boxes all night. That's got to work up an appetite.
Query. Yourself is?
Me? I'm just another cat with a terminal case of the curiouses. Like, how come a lot of joints around here keep losing all their vittles?
Lawfer, yourself is?
Lawfer? I ain't a cop. If I were a cop, I'd have better coffee.
So, negative lawfer is. Query yourself, money desire?
Translation, this bum was feeling me out to see if I was up for sale.
Nothing doing, chum. Way I figure it, there are a whole lot of furs around here that are owed a whole lot of money. Save your dough for them, see?
So, query noble fur.
I was thinking of a snappy comeback to this. What I should have been thinking was to duck. This guy was strong, and that wasn't any empty box he was throwing at me, but a chair. I just meant to duck when he uncorked the haymaker at me. Lying in a mess of cookware didn't do me any favors for ducking his kicks, and he got a few good ones in my ribs. One eye was already swelling shut, so with the other good one I had left, I grabbed a cast iron skillet. Well, that's one guy that wasn't going to trip the light fantastic anytime soon. I ducked out of the way, but not quite fast enough, as a big meaty paw grabbed my neck, followed by its twin brother in the same place. It was starting to go black. The last things I heard was first a comment about my mother, and then I came to a few hours later, lying on my back in a room. A small fox with a big set of brass knuckles was sitting opposite me. Given the fact that he told me that anything that came out of my yap would be used against me in court, I figured this one was on the side of the angels, even if he had brass knucks instead of a harp. I spilled my guts to him for the better part of an hour, then got my tail tossed into a jail cell for my trouble. One good thing, anyway, the floor was cool, which felt good against my ribs and face.
emphasis, you. Visitor you having are.
Hello, Mike. Don't get up.
As if I could.
You look like the Fighting 69th just marched all over your face.
Ain't you sweet? I'll bet you say that to all the males. What you got there?
Lunch. I figured you'd want something on your stomach.
Look, Angel, unless there's a wedge of beefsteak for my eye, forget it. I think I got my stomach punted back to the goal line this morning.
Yeah, he sure did a number on you. Oh, well. More lobster mousse for me.
Eat hearty. I'll watch. It's the most I can do right now.
Really? And here I was, hoping for something more.
Oh, this was lovely. Given the fact that I hadn't showered, groomed, cleaned my clothes, and Stella's description regarding the Fighting 69th was pretty accurate, this really didn't seem like a good time to say hi to the boss.
On the islands less than a week, and you've already managed to brawl with someone twice your size and three times your strength.
Yeah, but half his brains.
I know how to pick 'em.
Your references seem to be accurate.
References? Oh, no.
Yes. Your recent and former employers gave me a rundown on you that might be considered libelous in certain circles. Among other things, they said you had a small brain, a big mouth, and an even bigger appetite for a byline. Something about running over your grandmother for a story.
Yeah. Well, I'd have a time trying to disprove that in court, and explaining why Granny had tire tracks on her back.
I was also informed that you were a, quote, sewer-crawling gutter snipe who would sift through 5 tons of wet fertilizer to get 200 words under a byline, end quote. Possibly illustrating the former comment, I suppose.
That's one of the few things I haven't done for a story. Give me a week, sir, and it might just pan out.
I had a clipping service airmail me some of your stories, too. Very colorful turn of phrase you have, Mr. Mooney. I can see why you have so many fans among the political and business classes. You will be happy to know, by the way, that no charges are being pressed against you for your little tiff last night. It seems someone poked around those boxes and found something remarkable in them.
What was that?
Nothing. That was what was remarkable. I'm told the constabulary got your friend to talk, eventually. I'm inclined to think it was verbal persuasion that did the trick.
Not brass knuckles?
No, not this time, anyway.
Small favors.
Well, anyway, I've come to the conclusion, Mr. Mooney, that you're a nuisance, a loudmouth, and a troublemaker.
Oh, yeah, well...
It's quite fortunate for you, Mr. Mooney, that I am a troublemaker myself. I simply prefer a more refined way of causing mischief. We'll just have to keep you out of the paws of the magistrates until we can straighten out your paperwork. Do try to keep a low profile. Impossible as that might be. Oh, and one other thing. I'm having a warder bring by a typewriter. Have 500 words, a first-person account of what you did last night, ready for the last evening edition. I won't be reading it before it goes to press. I have a dinner meeting with the Restaurant Association. It seems they are grateful to the Mirror for our efforts in breaking up this little thieves' ring. The chef at the Grand, I'm told, makes a marvelous poached snapper. But I will read your account with great interest over the coffee and cigars. Good day, Mr. Mooney.
Well, you got out of that scrape mostly intact, except for your face.
Yeah, great. You take dictation?
Want me to sit on your lap?
Aren't you a riot?
Come on, big man. Make all gone with lobster mousse and build up your strength for the 4-star final. Open your mouth so the plane can come in.
And that's a 30.
The brewers of Blue Diamond's Ale and Blue Diamond's Pilsner Lager hope you've enjoyed this program. They also hope that when you visit your favorite tavern or favorite store, you'll remember things in threes. The three ingredients, hops, barley, and pure water. Slow brewing, chill brewing, and pure brewing. And the three blue diamonds on the label, which is your assurance that the beer inside will sparkle in the glass and provide a refreshing and pleasing addition to any meal or any period of relaxation. Since 1843, that's a promise. The promise made each and every day by the Saybrook Brewing Company of Hartford, Connecticut. You have been listening to If You Can't Stand the Heat, written by E.O. Costello and starring Gerald Moore as Michael Mooney and Alice White as Stella Watermaster. Also heard in the cast were Alan Reed as Charles Foster Crane and Norris Goff as Jimmy Razor. On behalf of the Saybrook Brewing Company, this is Graham McNamee speaking. Good night, all. This is the Red Network, NBC, the national broadcasting company. You have been listening to If You Can't Stand the Heat, written by E.O. Costello and starring Don Cosgrove as Michael Mooney and Amanda Balaguer as Stella Watermaster. Also heard in the cast were Simon Jones as Charles Foster Crane and Michael Fishbein as Jimmy Razor, with Tom Joyle, Jerry Stearns, and Dixie Trichel. Recording engineers were Mike Stapp and Dixie Trichel, produced by Jerry Stearns. On behalf of KFAI Community Radio, this is Jackson Buck speaking.